about the performance and the giveaway.
So December 8th, so Friday, next week's Friday, at 7:30 p.m. at the Orpheum, there is a music concert, and Ari Music Vancouver and the Vancouver Chamber Choir are collaborating, and so they will play Messiah. So yes, yep. And you can get the ticket by sending an email to us, and you can, yeah, there's possibility to,
yep, send an email with just a short comment about why you'd like to experience this performance. Send that to cjsfae@sfu.ca before this Friday. One entry per person. Don't get greedy and spam our A&E coordinator's inbox with your request, one per person. And we will choose a lucky winner on Friday, and that person will be notified. And you will get to go to the concert. So I think it's a awesome opportunity. And thank you, Ayu, for coming in to tell us about it today.
Yeah, thank you. I also attend the event, and I will also plan to review it.
Great.
So I'm excited too.
Excellent. And you'll come back here and tell us about it?
Yeah.
After the concert. Great. That's terrific. All right. Let's have a quick look at today's weather. And this week's weather here in the Vancouver region. It's a pretty cool, foggy and overcast day for today. High up to 7, it'll be down to 0 overnight. The sun's going to come out a bit for Tuesday and Wednesday with a mix of sun and cloud on both days, highs to 6 degrees and lows down to 1 degree. And then the cloud comes back in on Wednesday evening, and we'll have sort of middling weather with overcast through the rest of the week and some rain showing up on Friday and the weekend. So that's your look at the weather for this week. Next up, this is we have a song here for you from Canadian band Metric. They've been putting out records for 15 years now. They have a new one called Formentera 2. This is the lead-off single from that track. This is Detour Up. Metric. That was from a new album from them, fairly new anyway, Formentera 2. That track was Detour Up. And joining me in the studio now is Peter. What have you come to talk to us about today,
well,
Peter?
It's actually Grabalerial BC.
Saying it wrong anyway. Yeah. It's an anti-imperialist Filipino women's organization.
Yeah.
But they... there was a karaoke in Surrey last night, kind of a fundraiser, and men are involved.
For the event?
Yes.
Yeah.
So men are involved with it, too. I wasn't the only one there.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it concerns itself with Filipino women as such.
Yeah.
And also the temporary workers coming in to Canada and Vancouver. One thing is, I didn't know that. I heard it on CBC Radio, actually. Divorce is illegal in the Philippines, and it's now, besides Vatican City, now the only place in the world where it is illegal. And also, I asked a bit about this, about the temporary workers. You have to be a citizen of Canada if you want to get a divorce, I guess, if you came from the Philippines. So that is, I can sort of see where there's a group about that.
Yeah.
It's also the concern is, I think, the other thing is that there is a nursing shortage in the Philippines because so many of them go out of the Philippines to other countries like Canada. And strangely enough, they sort of encourage that. It's a very strange regime in the Philippines. 80% of the population happens to be Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Before going to the event, I went over the internet a few other things.
Yeah.
In 2017, this is under Justin Trudeau government, Canada sold 16 combat helicopters worth $185 million to the Philippines Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And there were complaints about at the time. Maybe two, I just a few other things. $1.1 million from Canada to the Philippines for the pandemic. And $12 million from Canada, the Philippines, climate, finance, women, certain other things. So they've gotten some foreign aid, but that seems a bit odd to me that in 2017 that happened. That's a lot of money, $185 million.
Of course, you know, when we do that, we're selling them. We're not just giving them money. They're getting, you know, they're buying Canadian-made helicopters, so Canada's benefiting immensely from such a transaction.
One thing is that there's a mining. There's a lot of mining in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the mining is by Canadian firms.
Yep.
And 70, this is a worldwide situation. 75% of the world's mining companies are headquarters in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And 60% of them are on the EMA or on the are or on the stock exchange over in Toronto. So, and there's been problems actually. But the Fifth Estate did an article in 2015 about a East African country, and it was a Vancouver mining firm. And basically, they were taking advantage of slave labor because this country was employing slave labor and so on. Mm-hmm. So we're, and there's problems with the Philippines too.
Yeah, they definitely had a lot of issues with their recent governments there. They're still basically democratic in the sense that they, you know, they do have elections and stuff, but they seem to have, you know, there's more to democracy than elections in some of the recent governments. Certainly the one of Duterte, who is before the current government, engaged in a lot of
there was a lot of
practices involving sort of extrajudicial murders and whatnot that not that democratic.
Well, what they have now is the son of Marcos.
Yes, I've seen that too. He's the son of Ferdinand Marcos, who was the dictator of the Philippines for a couple decades at least, and was sort of pushed out of power in a bit of a democratic revolution quite a while ago, when there was sort of a bit of a wave of these kind of things happening around the world. And unfortunately, perhaps we're seeing some backsliding within the Philippines on effective democracy.
Well, I have a results of that election. It was May 9th, 2022, and Marcos got 58% of the popular vote, and the independent got 28%.
Right.
And anyway.
But also, you know, you could say part of a larger trend happening throughout much of the world, in which right-wing and fundamentally anti-democratic groups are gaining sway, even in established democracies. Just, I think it was last week in the Netherlands, they had an election, and the group that got the largest number of seats, they didn't get a majority of seats to form the government, but got the largest plurality of seats, was a far right-wing group. And perhaps it's a good thing that at the moment they're having trouble finding coalition partners that would allow them to establish a government. But, you know, we've seen that in other countries. Hungary for many years now, and of course, you know, the whole Trump thing happening down in the States, and despite all the stuff he says and has done, he's still the number one, you know, the leading candidate for the Republican Party. So,
another thing maybe add, but the first Ferdinand Marcos,
yeah,
he was in power from 1965 to 1986, and there was, and the woman who took over, there was a lot of kind of hope for it, but I didn't kind of check into that, but I remember at the time there was people weren't quite happy that it wasn't quite the reforms people were hoping for. No, this thing, I wonder about divorce being illegal. I mean, they didn't think to make that legal at that time period, I suppose.
Nope. So jumping back to where we started, Gabriela BC is an anti-imperialist Filipino women's organization. They had a fundraiser just last night that you were at. To raise money for their organization. And they have a Facebook page. You can find it at Gabriela BC 604. Find out more about their organization and some of their upcoming events and activities. So just looking at their Facebook page, they're pretty active with a lot of posts and events being organized. And if that's something you're interested, look up Gabriela BC. I find it pretty easy to find the info about them online. And if you want to find out more about them, you can do that too. All right, any last thoughts there?
Well, I guess what the organization is concerned with is the actual workers here in Canada and around the Vancouver area, greater Vancouver area. Because that's actually there was actually a problem with sometimes they're brought over here and they're not paid or whatever. So there's many issues with how the either the temporary workers or people coming here to get Canadian citizenship and how that's handled.
And just how they're being treated in the workplace and as employees.
Right.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, thanks for coming in to talk about that today, Peter.
Okay.
Excellent. We're going to play some music for you now. This is Jeremy Dutcher. He's a First Nations artist who's really made a name for himself. Currently the number one album on campus community radio across Canada. This is from a new album, which is called, well, I'm going to do my best to pronounce this properly, Motuwolanuuk. I think that's pretty good. Motuwolanuuk. I haven't actually heard it pronounced. I've only read it. I haven't heard it pronounced out loud, so that may not be a great pronunciation. Yeah. And we're going to play this track from you from Jeremy Dutcher.
Also we stand up, we stand up.
Jeremy Dutcher from his album Motorola Nuuk. And again, I'm going to... that was the second track from the album, which is called... let's give this a try. Pomo Wusuna Nuuk Wonakiwa Wolanuuk. Doing my best here. Jeremy Dutcher from his new album. Next up, we have our intern Joy, who's here visiting with us from Korea for 4 more weeks. Went out to talk to students on campus last week about AI, and here is what they had to say.
Have you used AI like ChatGPT or others for your assignments?
Yeah, my name is Fahad. I'm just a student majoring in biometrics. I've been using ChatGPT just to get information, like knowledge, and even for assignments as well. But I would, you know, not prefer to, you know, copy paste whatever. See, just learn mostly. I would do. Yeah, but I'm using them for sure.
What is your take on AI?
I mean, I think I do see it dominating in the future as well. It's just going to keep on growing, I believe so, because when it burst out, it was just, you know, like very popular, and over time it may just, it will grow up to the point that it will replace a lot of jobs that people are doing.
My name is Rina, and I think that AI is useful, but we just need to be careful because it has a lot of effects on our environment because it emits a lot of carbon fumes, and we also have to make sure that we stay honest because a lot of people use it in assignments.
Hi, my name is Natalie. I'm a first year at SFU. I actually have never used AI before. Yeah, I'm not really familiar with how it works, but I feel like it can be very useful, especially like in terms of studying. It can give you like really good notes and things like that. But for me personally, I'd rather just like come up with my own ideas, and I feel like that way you learn better. Anyway, so.
What is your take on AI?
My name's Lucci. I'm kind of neutral. It's like, I understand for some people, if they want to figure out like a simple definition or taking notes, it's like easier to like summarize what they read or something. But if it's like for assignments that they have to make and they use ChatGPT, I think obviously it's bad because it's not their own work. But I don't really care because not me.
I'm Emmanuel. I mean, I just hear a lot of people like using it for their assignments. I'd say it's a useful tool, but maybe some people like use it in a bad way. Maybe like, oh, do my work for me. But personally, I haven't used it that much. I only used it for like to explain, because I'm in science. I used to explain science concepts in maybe a simpler way. So, but yeah, I hear a lot of people like using AI to maybe do their work for them, and I don't know how to feel about that.
I'm Aryan Kaul. Yeah, I agree. I think it's a useful tool, but at the same time, say, you know, you're trying to further in your degree, do well in your classes, yeah, it might get you the better grade, but also, like, our generation, we're kind of like the future, and if our future's in the hands of, like, us, and we're kind of using AI to kind of do well and further our knowledge, it's probably not the best thing.
Mm-hmm. Are we really doing the work?
Yeah, are we really doing the work? Because once you're doing the work, you know, you can actually trust yourselves in whatever field we go into.
Yeah. Hi, my name's Ava. I think AI can be helpful. I wouldn't rely on it entirely for an assignment for school. Often I use it to get an outline or highlight some important topics. I don't use it entirely to do an assignment, but it can definitely be helpful and give you some unique perspectives.
Thank you to Kay for putting together that streeter on AI. AI is, of course, perhaps the big tech story of 2023, and it's been pretty amazing to watch it. I mean, it's been around for a lot of years, but it really blasted into both the public perception, but also, you know, financially with AI-related companies achieving huge valuations very quickly this year. Thanks to Kay for putting that together. It's a big issue in academia, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that again. Here is Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. If you see a feather on the ground, I'm sure 99% of the people will pick it up and see it and imagine which bird it came from.
Isha Munshi co-founded the Feather Library, a digital library that collects and documents the feathers of Indian birds. Launched in 2021, the library has high-resolution photographs of about 90 bird species, like the brilliantly colored Indian pita and the wispy tail feathers of the white-tailed swallow. Each feather is carefully documented. These are birds that came to a rescue center in Gujarat, India, but didn't survive. Isha trained under Vanya Rova at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology and learned how to prepare the feather specimens.
It's learning at every process because very few people in the world do something like this.
The digital library offers a glimpse into the birds that aren't seen in most photos, like the details of their flight feathers, which are hidden when the bird is perching.
Wire-tailed swallows' wires have like a fork at their end of their wires, which is like the microscope level I'm talking about.
This library is open to everyone, whether you're a researcher, bird watcher, conservationist, or an ordinary person who came across a feather.
I dream that someday Feather Library will have all the species of the world nicely catalogued for anyone to see.
Find a link to the Feather Library at our website, birdnode.org. I'm Ananya.
All right, you're listening to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're coming very quickly to the conclusion of our program for today. Thank you for listening. Ayu is going to tell us once more about our giveaway.
Yeah, so we have two tickets for the concert, Handel's Messiah. And this is, so don't forget to send an email to us. The email address is cjsfae@marksfu.ca. Yeah.
So cjsfae@sfu.ca. And that's for the performance of Handel's Messiah on December 8th. You can win two tickets to that show. And it'll be, I think, a really fine time. I was going to be there enjoying it herself.
Yes.
And that could be you as well. So send in your entry to win those tickets. Thanks for joining us today, Peter. Talk about Gabriella, BC.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
And I think we'll all be back next week with some more interesting content. Part two of our interview with Dr. Joanna Ashworth about democratic teaching and learning will be on Speak Up tomorrow at a few minutes after 10, along with some more interesting content and documentaries and Bird Note and some good music. Thanks for joining us me today, guys.
Yeah, thank
okay.
you.
Yes.
We're going to finish off with some new music from Toro et Moi. They are a band. They have a new track on our playlist, which is called Back Then, from their album Sandhills. This will play us out. Democracy Now! Is coming up in about a minute and a half. Stay tuned.
I was coming home and I stayed for 3 months. Spent the summer in South Carolina doing what I want. Clouds as tall as mountains, it was humid as can be. Carolina sun was burning up everything. Carolina sun.